And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Steve Vaughn, also in studio. And today, we are going to have a discussion on, well, medical issues. Now, thankfully, Steve Vaughn is part of the program today because he has something of a medical background. So I appreciate the fact, Steve, brother, that you've had some experience in the medical field for what, like 15, 20 years?
Actually, I've been a nurse for 30 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a few years. That must
it seems
that
like
must mean you're,
15.
That must mean you're over 45 years of age.
I am a little bit over 45.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming back to this COVID-19 virus that has turned the entire world economy on its ear. And friends, things will not be the same. The bottom line is world history plays itself out in different eras. And the old era is over. The new era is here. And so history is not just cyclical. It is a it's a straight line in which things are different with each new era. In fact, we're not going back to the way things were, Steve. This is a whole new deal. This is a 52-card pickup as far as the world economy goes and as far as, you know, we're going to be dealing with our institutions, our medical institutions, our political institutions, our scientific institutions, certainly our educational institutions. We're not going back to the way things were.
No, and I mean, you can't go back. I almost look at it as a slinky, a stretched out slinky, because there are new things that are happening, but we see sort of repeats of themes and ideas that keep going through of, you know, new diseases that keep popping up and new problems we have to deal with. But just as I think it was Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just in a different format.
Yeah. And this COVID-19 virus is a resilient, adaptable little bug. We're getting variants on the COVID-19 already. And that should be something of a surprise to people, or maybe not a surprise because of the common cold. Other forms of coronavirus tend to adapt pretty well to the point where it's kind of hard to chase them down. And you're going to wind up with a different flu or a different cold or a different COVID-19 virus. I don't know, what, every 3 months? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But Newsweek magazine comes out this morning. Evidence is emerging to suggest that the South African variant of the COVID-19 virus, known as B1351, may have a significant impact on the effectiveness of some of the current available vaccines and leading candidates in development. So that's kind of a setback. And people are going, oh, man, is it possible that science will not solve all of our problems in the 21st century? And I know that's a crushing realization to so many, you know, who have fallen down and worshipped at the altar of science. And they assume that somehow man will save himself. But sorry, guys, not this time.
Yeah, it reminds me of the cryogenics and freeze everybody until we find a cure, thaw them out, revive them and then give them the cure and people can then live forever. But yeah. You know, we will ultimately live forever, just not in the way you think it is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, by the grace of God and by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed became man, was crucified on the cross for our sins, rose again on the third day, and is the first fruits of those who rose from the dead, which will include us who by faith receive Jesus Christ. So that's the other approach. But sadly, the modern humanist is falling down and worshiping at the altar of powerful politics and science, hoping that somehow, you know, science and government teaming up are going to solve our problems for us. Well, but sadly, we also have this resilient little bug, this adaptable little bug. Is it possible that society is not safe from the judgments of Almighty God? Now, one of the points people need to understand from previous history is that we have seen diseases take out 30 to 40% of the world population before, and especially if you don't get to herd immunity too quickly. Now, this doesn't happen over 1 year. It typically drags out over a period of 5, 10, 15, 20, 50, 60, 70 years. As the viruses or the bacteria elude vaccines or develop antibiotic resistance and so forth and so on. So, friends, I think we're at the point now where we need to trust God. We're at the point now where we need to realize we are under the judgment of Almighty God, and it's for us to call out for His mercy and to brace ourselves in case this virus just continues to adapt and we begin to see, you know, more super bacterium, super germs dominate in the next, say, 30 to 40 to 50 years. You know, in the history of the world, these kinds of things have happened. So the idea that somehow we are totally safe from world wars that would knock out 20% of the population, or viruses that could knock out 30, 40, 50% of the population. Friends, no. We're living in a dangerous world, and we need to trust God. We need to call out for his mercy, and we need to fear God. And that, of course, is the one thing that scientists are not doing. That's one thing politicians will definitively not do in the 21st century. But we encourage our listenership to that. We'll be back with more in just a moment. We want to talk about this pseudo-vaccine for COVID-19. That's next on Generations.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, also Steve Vaughn, one of our board members that joins us in studio from time to time. We appreciate Steve's inputs. And today we're talking science, we're talking medicine, we're talking vaccines, we're talking about the cure for the COVID-19 virus. And my friends, I think most of our listening audience understands that Kevin Swanson tends to doubt modern science. I suspect modern science, largely because, well, the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God. And you ask modern scientists and modern universities and these development laboratories, do you fear God? And their answer is, God? Fear? What? And because their answer is not yes, I have to conclude they have not made it to the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Every major medical breakthrough of the last 200 years has been accomplished by God-fearing, born-again Christians. Every major medical breakthrough, that is, the important ones, vaccines from back Cotton Mather's day to x-rays, MRIs, insulin, antibiotics, anesthesia. I went through this in a recent program, and it's all included in my new book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. That's coming out in about a month, my friends. But just take a look at the history of vaccines, x-rays, MRIs, insulin, antibiotics, anesthesia. These came by born-again, God-fearing Christians. And this is established in history, my friends. It's established. It's a done deal. But most of today's scientists are atheists now. I don't think God's going to bless that. So let me ask you this. How many of the Pfizer scientists are giving God the glory and praise and thanks for their wonderful, quote-unquote, vaccine they developed for COVID-19? How many of the news media persons, how many politicians, how many scientists, to God be the glory? Well, that's what these scientists who developed vaccines, anesthesia, antibiotics, insulin, MRIs, and x-rays, they were God-fearing Christians who gave God the glory for these massive breakthroughs in the history of medicine over 6,000 years. Not too many important breakthroughs, but those that did happen in the last 200 years came by born-again, God-fearing Christians, including vaccines. The cowpox vaccine, the anesthesia in the 1820s, 1830s, the x-ray, the guy developed x-ray, Röntgen, godly Christian man, read the Bible every day, MRIs, insulin, the guy developed insulin, the guy developed antibiotics. Just go through every one of these stories. I mean, these are the stories. These are the medical advancements in all of human history came about by Christians. Because, by the mercy of God, he gave it to God-fearing Christians, and the whole world has not been the same. Billions of lives have been saved by Christians. The most wonderful breakthrough in the latter 20th century in medical research by non-Christians was conception control. which has managed to kill off about 65% of the world's babies each year. Okay, you know, big accomplishment, guys. High five all the way. That's what the non-Christian scientists got us in the latter part of the 20th century. Modern science is self-destructive. And I don't trust these Frankensteinian monsters, to be quite honest with you. That's just the way things are in a post-Christian, God-hating, atheistic scientific community today. So scientists have put together a particularly unique answer to the COVID-19 virus. And I pulled up a Harvard Medical School story on this particular thing. Evidently, they've been working on it for 30 years. And scientists have actually put together a structure of the mRNA, the messenger RNA, that made the critical piece of the virus's protein coat, such as the spike protein of the COVID-19 virus. Scientists discovered the exact structure of the mRNA that made the critical piece of the COVID-19 virus's protein coat. That's the first thing they did. And then they inject the mRNA into somebody, and the mRNA is supposed to travel through the bloodstream to be gobbled up by the immune system. And then these immune cells start to make the spike protein themselves, and that's supposed to educate the immune system to respond to the virus. So that's the way it works. Now, the challenges to overcome are huge, according to the Harvard Medical School article that came out in December. And here they are. The mRNA has to be modified to avoid violent immune system reactions. The immune system cells need to absorb the mRNA as it passed by in the blood, and then the cells have to produce large amounts of the critical piece of protein, and then the foreign mRNA must be protected so as not to be destroyed by the chemicals in the blood. And so that's this new development for the COVID-19, and by the way, put together in about 11 months. The previous record was 4 years for the release of one of the old vaccines. Now, this, of course, is a new development. This is not the same as a vaccine. This, again, people need to understand, this is not the same as a vaccine. Pfizer, that developed this quote-unquote vaccine, I went to their website just this morning, and they say this is not a traditional vaccine. The traditional vaccine uses inactivated, dead, or portions of actual virus to spur an immune reaction, whereas the mRNA delivers a message to your body's cell via a lipid nanoparticle envelope that instructs the cells to generate the spike protein found on the surface of the coronavirus that initiates the infection, and then instructing cells to generate the spike protein is supposed to spur an immune response, including generation of antibodies specific to the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. So that's the way this thing works. It is not a traditional vaccine. And now the word vaccine etymologically comes from the word cow. That is from cowpox, developed by a Christian scientist. The first cowpox vaccine for smallpox was developed by a Christian scientist, a Christian doctor in the latter part of the 1700s. And so he called it a vaccine because it comes from the Latin word for cow, that is from cowpox, referring to an actual virus that is injected into the body. Now, what this Christian doctor discovered was these milkmaids that got cowpox were not subject to the smallpox virus. And for that reason, he began to, you know, take the cowpox virus, inject that into people, and that became the first vaccine. Now, what do we do with the mRNA that is supposed to create a new protein, which the body is to be trained to destroy? What do you do with that? That's not the vaccine. That's not the cowpox vaccine, where you're taking an actual vaccine virus and injecting it into the body. Etymologically, what is happening right now with this development is not a vaccine. I think a better term for this, Steve, would be an artificial genetic reprogramming for the immune system. An artificial genetic reprogram for the immune system. So my thought is we come up with a new term for it, perhaps a gen pro, you know, being a genetic reprogramming. Call it a gen pro or a gen repro. Did you get your gen pro? Did you get your vaccine? Did you get your cowpox vaccine? Yes. Somebody, if they got a cowpox vaccine for smallpox, and then you turn to the other guy who got something for his COVID-19 virus, and you ask him, did you get your gen pro? Did you get your artificial genetic reprogramming for the immune system for this particular virus? I think, you know, to be honest, you can't use the word vaccine. To be honest, I think it'd be much better to just simply say, did you get your gen pro?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Your traditional vaccines, you would, like what you said, you would inject or put on the skin, as in, you know, the cowpox. For those of you who have that scar on your shoulder, that was a cowpox shoulder scar that you got as a kid, and it's exactly like you said. They give you something that is either dead or a greatly weakened virus so that your body would produce the immune response, and then your immune system naturally then remembers that immune response. And so you have your memory T cells, and then all of a sudden, if you get exposed to that virus again, it's a rapid response to go in there and take care of it. But this is not. This is a reproduction or reprogramming of your system to try to fight off a virus. And that's never been done before. And we don't know what the consequences are of trying to do this. And so for me, I'm not looking to get this until I see 10 years or 20 years down the road to see what this is going to do to people.
You know, Steve, I think it's the wisest response, what you just said. Now, I've been to a number of different websites, the naturopathic approach to these things, of course, reacting pretty negatively to this vaccine, or quote-unquote vaccine, this GenPro. But you're right. I think, you know, this overweening faith in science and government has got to produce terrible results. At the bottom, if people aren't fearing God and yet they're, you know, implicitly, explicitly trusting science and government to save them, to me, that's dangerous. I think we're in a dangerous mode right now as humanists are implicitly trusting the power of government and the overweening pride of scientists, because I don't think we've ever lived in an era in which scientists have been more proud and more overcompensating on their dogma, you know, on their belief in themselves and their own systems. I honestly think this is the most dangerous period in terms of how we handle technology and science of any period in all of human history. I believe that's where we are right now. There is so much overweening faith in science and governments. This will somehow produce terrible results. Now, I'm not saying that this vaccine will, or this GenPro, whatever you want to call it, is going to produce terrible results. But the overall pride taken in science and the power of government is just horrendous. We don't know the long-term effects of these things, and we won't know it for probably 40, 50, 60 years. There's a reason why there was about 70 to 80 years between Cotton Mather's application of smallpox, you know, as a sort of vaccine in Boston in 1720, and the development of the cowpox vaccine in roughly 1790. So you know, you had about 70 years where society was a little reticent to just grab onto the vaccine, hook, line, and sinker. That's because people didn't have implicit trust in these systems. So they're willing to wait and watch and see what the long-term effects were over a period of 50, 60, 80, or 100 years. And I just don't think that's where people are today. The fact is, there may be no quick fix for the flu or for the common cold or for COVID. And I think people need to understand, there may be no quick fix for the common cold, which is a coronavirus. There may be no quick fix for COVID-19. I know that's hard for people to deal with, but there hasn't been a quick fix for the flu and for the common cold over the years. Why? Well, because these things are adapting, and you can't just chase down every version of the common cold and provide something of a vaccine for them.
Yeah, and one of the things you said about, you know, scientists who have been so proud of themselves and taking pride in their science and yet denying God. One of the things that God is God is life. And when you deny life, or when you reject life, then the only thing that you have left is death. And that is exactly why the scientists who are following themselves, the last greatest thing that they produced actually kills many, many people. It's because they have no other option. That's another reason to be at least suspect of what's going on now, because if these scientists do not acknowledge God, they've denied life. And so the only possibility is death and destruction.
Governments, politicians, the people are panicking. And I think you and I both know the level of panic represented by the COVID-19 virus in 2020 is beyond anything we've seen in our lifetime. And friends, you react to panic. And then you get governments and politicians who have a great deal of a commitment to bring something like this quote-unquote vaccine to the population and to do it extremely quickly. I think we need to step back and say this may not be the panacea. This may not be the cure. This may be the beginning of something even worse. And so I think we need to be somewhat suspect. Well, first and foremost, let's fear God, my friends. Let's trust God, first and foremost. And when a society has given up on trusting God and fearing God, well, all bets are off for everything else. The bottom line here is, do you want to be the first 5 million guinea pigs for this particular approach to viruses? Do you want to be the first of the first 5 million guinea pigs over the next 2 years, or over the next 20 years, or 30 years, or 40 years? Especially if your chance of dying of COVID is roughly 1 in 3,000, or 0.03% worldwide after, what, 2.2 million deaths. If you don't include comorbidities, you know, your odds of dying of this, COVID-19, is about 1 in 30,000. You realize that?
Yeah.
1 in 30,000. Your odds of dying of poisoning is 1 in 5,000, Steve.
Yeah.
And your odds of dying of an auto accident is 1 in 8,000.
That's where I was going.
And your odds of dying of an assault by a firearm is 1 in 23,400. Okay. So your odds of dying of COVID-19 is still like 1 in 30,000 if you include comorbidities, or you don't include comorbidities. If you include comorbidities, your odds of dying of COVID-19 is roughly 1 in 3,000 or 0.03%, which is almost your odds of dying of poisoning in a given year, according to CDC results. All right. So personally, my friends, you know, how am I going to handle this question of whether or not to take this vaccine, or better put, GenPro? I'm more comfortable relying on my natural antibodies to fight off this bad boy than to introduce an mRNA into my system. That's where I'm at. So my daughter said the same thing. She said, "Dad, I think I'm just going to rely on my natural antibodies to fight off this bad boy." And I said, "Amen, sister."
Yeah, and if
I think I'm going to go with that.
And women out there, if you're planning on getting pregnant, there's no testing on what this could do to your unborn baby, none whatsoever. And that is typically within what the realm is of testing any of these things. And so, if you're planning on getting pregnant, or if you are pregnant, oh my, I would not get this.
Well, my friends, again, let's be very careful that we are not saying this is going to have good long-term results or bad long-term results. Here's the only point. We haven't been into the long-term yet. That's the only problem. So whether this is going to produce highly negative results or highly positive results over the next, say, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, hard to say. Now, thankfully, by God's grace, he's given us vaccines, antibiotics, MRIs, x-rays, etc., by tremendous, creative, amazing breakthroughs. But God gave these breakthroughs by his mercy to men who feared God and men who gave God all the glory. And that kind of thing isn't happening today. So, friends, I'm doubtful that God is going to bless our nation and our technology, given that we have abandoned God as an entire civilization. Well, get the whole story on how we have seen tremendous blessings through the years through godly scientists and godly doctors. And I tell the whole story in my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. And let's be sure that we root and ground our children on a right biblical worldview, friends, always raising them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Let's teach our children that God is awesome. God is amazing. God is the source of all of these amazing inventions. And it's only by his grace, by his mercy, that we receive these creative breakthroughs. We discover more of his creation, and we provide mankind with real solutions. But this comes by the grace of God. It comes by creative, innovative solutions that can only come by an insight provided by the sovereign working of Almighty God in our lives. Well, friends, get the story with my new book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, which will soon be available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.